Hello.
Hello.
My name is Matt.
My name is Abigail, and this
And
is the
welcome to the
Polyglot
Polyglot of
Oligot.
Progress podcast.
Yep, there you
Cool.
go.
You act like it was me. That was totally you.
It's honestly just doing it on Google Hangouts, like
Yeah,
trying to do it from
it's not
afar
as
because
good.
there's definitely a little bit of a lag. But today
True.
is January 18th. You guys are watching this on the 19th. A little bit of a last minute recording there. And today we are going to be talking about this is podcast, what podcast
34.
is 34? It's podcast 34. We're going to be talking about sticking to New Year's resolutions and language goals. The language goals part is going to be a little bit of a focus because this is a language learning channel, but honestly, I feel like this video is pretty applicable for any sort of New Year's resolution or goal, or just like resolution or goal in general. But I feel like New Year's is a good time to talk about this because a lot of people who aren't typically people who set goals will kind of hop on that train, but then it's a little bit more difficult since you're not used to it. So if you have found us and are not interested in language learning, I feel like you could probably still get something out of this podcast. However, if you are into language learning, don't worry, we'll still talk about that.
Yeah, and I
Today's
think,
video.
oh, I'm sorry. I was
Go
just gonna
ahead.
say, I think one of the things we'll get into this is like the difference between a resolution and a goal and like why the difference is so
Yeah.
important. But yeah, you were gonna
Yeah.
say.
I was just gonna thank Italki, who is the sponsor of this podcast. For anyone who doesn't know, perhaps those of you who are finding us through this podcast and aren't like people who follow our channel, Italki is a really great way to practice a language. It's this website where basically you can book lessons with either professional or unprofessional community tutors who are just kind of usually native speakers of the language who will help you practice. It's one of my favorite ways to study languages, I'd say, just because it is such a practical way to learn languages. Not only is it really affordable compared to a lot of language courses, especially if you were going to pay for a classroom setting, but also it's just way more authentic than a lot of other things because it is with actual speakers of the language. So you do get like an hour to just spend talking with someone who speaks that language, and you can easily talk about things related to the country they're from or the culture associated with that language as well. So you do get like a much more cultural and authentic experience. Plus it's a real person, so it's more authentic in that sense than as opposed to like reading a textbook where you're alone. Plus I know for me, something I'm gonna talk about in here later on is pushing myself when it comes to my goals. And I know for me, one of the hardest things for me to push myself with when it comes to a language is using it with actual people, because it is easy enough to sit with a textbook or another course and learn the vocabulary and the grammar, and even then feel like I'm getting enough practice by kind of doing those, like, a lot of textbooks I use will come with speaking exercises. Well, they'll have like a recording of a person and then you're supposed to speak back, but like realistically, is that pushing me to actually speak in the language?
Yeah,
Not really.
it's that thing that you kind of it makes you feel like you think you're doing a lot, but you're really doing nothing that's going to help you in the end. It's kind of
Yeah,
just
or
like
you're
the
doing a little
simulation.
bit, but I think having a person, it's also good for accountability, which is another thing that spoiler I'm going to talk about as we get on. But meeting with a person kind of, at least for me, really pushes me to like actually further myself in the language, even when I'm not at that lesson, because I do feel like I want to come into the next lesson better than I was the time before, and be able to show the teacher that I've progressed and be able to make more progress during that lesson because I've done work outside of it. So if you are interested in using Italki, there will be a link down below. You can get $10 in Italki credits for free with your first purchase of Italki credits, which is super helpful. That for me at least, usually the tutors I go with, that ends up paying for 1 to 2 lessons. So you can basically get 1 to 2 language lessons for free. I guess those are like 30-minute intervals, because I personally usually go with the 30-minute lessons for myself, because I feel like that's just the most efficient way to squeeze some language learning in for me. I feel like if I go for an hour, my brain starts to just it
Absolutely.
kind of goes over my head a little bit more. So yeah, thank you so much, Italki, for sponsoring this podcast.
Cool.
So I guess before we talk about the actual point of this podcast, I know some people are going to be like, just move on. But before we get to that, let's just do a little check-in. How's your language learning been going in 2019, Matt?
Okay, so we're at the point of recording this 18 days into the new year.
Yep.
And so it won't have changed too much, but I'm happy to actually report, unlike the last six podcasts or so, where I'm like, I haven't done much, guys. I kind of feel gross for not doing much. I've actually been doing stuff, which feels really neat. I've been kind of just engrossed in Rilke, for anyone who knows of the kind of translation project I'm working on. I've kind of been on the hunt of collecting as many Rilke books as I can and kind of comparing translations lately. And so I'm like really getting familiar with a lot of these texts, and I'm listening to recordings of Rilke, as I mentioned in like the last live stream. I'm listening to recordings of it a lot. I'm reading a lot of essays on him, and it's really just been awesome to like engross myself and like just in this really specific material, and I love it so much, and it's really advancing my German. I'm really learning a lot of cool vocabulary in a very specific context, but also like I'm focusing a lot in etymology of certain words, which is really neat. It kind of feels like my first actual like linguistic work. And it involves poetry, it involves literature, and so I'm totally living for this project right now. And I've been reviewing my ancient Greek series. I'm reviewing all the work I did in that textbook in the last two episodes. I'm reviewing that work before I go and record more, so that way I don't have to record my reviewing. So hopefully I can make that flow a bit more. I did like the first two or three chapters in Athanasi, and I'm excited to work through it more. I've been My handwriting in Greek is awful, though, for anyone who's seen it. I've gotten a lot of comments being like, that's not how you write the letters. And I'm like, I give up. Some of them are too close to the Latin alphabet where I'm just like, okay, I have to write an A like this. I'm like, an E I can do because it's close enough to like a backwards three. I'm like, the pi sign I got because I had to do that in math. And then it's like, no, but it's like,
The pie
do I
sign.
can do? Yeah. No, my I'll get my handwriting out here. It's absolutely atrocious. Is this even it?
That's how I feel when I write in Bulgarian. And then I was
Yeah.
trying to learn the cursive version because I had heard that people only
This
write
is my
in
handwriting
Cyrillic
over here.
cursive. And then
Yeah, I
people
don't
were like,
know if there's
"Oh,
a
you can
cursive.
print." And I was like, "Okay, but both look really atrocious right now, so I don't know if I should
Yeah.
print or do cursive." Printing is
Well,
much easier for me, but also they're both ugly.
mine looks gross because it has like you can see the letters where I'm trying to spell them in like the Greek way. But then you have the ones that are clearly Latin, like my O looks Latin, my K's look Latin, the T, the I, and it's like some of them I try to give it a little flourish, but it's like not even worth it at this point. But like I still want to learn it, so then it makes it easier to read it. But yeah, my reading has really improved. I think if anything, I need to kind of get a handle on the accents because I think ancient Greek kind of has a pitch accent system. It's not. I don't know how to describe it. I don't see it talked about a lot because there aren't. I really need to find like a book or some resource that talks about the reconstructed.
Is it just something based on stress? Maybe I don't really know anything about ancient Greek, but I know Bulgarian has a very specific
Maybe.
stress system. So it's not like a pitch necessarily, but it really does matter what words are stressed and where
That
they're
could be
stressed.
it. I mean, I don't think
So.
it results in any ambiguity between words. I just think it's like the kind of phonemics about them. I'm really not sure though. If anyone knows, I'd love to hear it because I can't really find any good resources on reconstructed pronunciation, and so I'm kind of just basing everything off how I'm hearing it. But like, I mean, these clearly have accents, so I'm trying to figure out how to read them. I think it is mainly stress though. But I wonder because I've heard the word pitch accent to describe it, but I'm like, that's like what Japanese does, so I'm not sure. But that's really been all I've been up to so far. What about you? How is yours going?
So I haven't had the greatest kickoff to 2019. I really like came into this year like so ready to like kill it in all aspects of my life. And I figured out that a lot of it's because I've been going to roller derby practice 2 to 3 times a week, and my league meets 2.5 hours away from my house.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's fine when I'm at school
I
and
was
live
gonna say it's
nearby,
much
but
easier to commute.
here it's like I travel for 2.5, sometimes more hours, then have practice for 2 to 2.5 hours, then drive 2.5 hours back. So just with that, I write off 7 to 7.5 hours of my day. And then often a lot of my day then before that is like making sure my bag is packed and like that sort of thing. So it's like I don't really get those days are kind of like just knocked
Now, I need to
off.
play a sort of devil's advocate here. Could you use the commute time? Oh, no, you can't now because you're commuting with other people. I was going to say time is dead time to kind of listen to podcasts or stuff.
Yeah, no, I have. I've been making use
Okay.
of the time. It's just it also has just kind of gotten in the way of other things that I want to do. And then I also it's just been the typical winter break thing. I feel like winter break is
Yeah.
always a bit of a slump for me, just because I don't know, something about fall semester, it's so much rougher than spring
Isn't it?
semester for me
I
for some
agree.
reason.
I totally
Even though
agree.
I feel like spring semester is meant to be rougher, but like
Yeah,
at
I
least in
feel
my
like,
program, but
yeah.
like fall semester is so much worse. I'm always so much more burned out. And then winter break, I still have to be doing work, I guess, because I do come back in the spring and my program does function more on the year plane than the semester plane. So it's like I still am doing work, but I'm burned out. Plus there's the holidays, so that's like not a break.
Yeah.
Whereas like coming back and like summer, I feel so much better also because like I hate winter. Like
Yeah, that's also a huge thing. It's like I can hardly go. I went on a bird walk in Central Park the other
yeah.
week, and like I've been visiting my park more, but
Like
it's like
summer, great.
freezing.
I'm thriving. Winter
Yeah.
break, gross.
I hate being
It's
trapped
always a slump
indoors.
for me. So I think it's been
Yeah.
that paired with then I had to film my thing and then I'm going to roller derby. So it's like I really haven't gotten done what I wanted to, but I was just updating my language tracker in my language bullet journal. Video on that coming soon. We had to kind of readjust our upload schedule, but
Yeah.
it'll be coming. I filmed it. But I have been doing a better mix of languages this year so far, I'd say. I hadn't given myself an exact like rotation yet because I'm
Yeah, I
waiting
know
to
you're
do that when
planning on
we
doing
get
that.
back,
Yeah.
because it was going to be only 20 days of it basically over January, and then I was going to go back to school and have to change it all. So I decided just to wait till we got back to school. But I've been trying to push myself to do different things as well, which is again a spoiler, something I'm going to talk about in this podcast. But last night I decided to do a little bit of German for the first time this year, but I decided to just kind of do some reading. So I went on the German, I don't know exactly what the site is called, but it's basically like the German National Roller Derby
Oh my gosh, really?
website basically. And so I was reading the rules of the game and like about the players and stuff
That
in
what
German.
you because you were studying for it this morning? Were you
Yeah, I'm
considering it
studying for
studying?
the rules test in English,
Okay.
but I did actually briefly consider studying in French or German or
That's so
Spanish or Italian.
funny.
I have, I think, all of the rules documents, but
That's crazy.
yeah, so I was just like reading about it in German. I've also been reading for French. I've been reading The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up in French.
The title for that is much b more boring in French, though. Isn't it just like
It's
Le
The Magic of
Rangement?
Cleaning in
Oh,
French.
okay. Wow. Yeah, that's
So
like
I
a more.
mean it does have a little bit, it's a little bit less big in French. But yeah, I've been reading that just because I've never read it. I already kind of knew about the KonMari thing just from like watching productivity YouTube channels and stuff, but I decided to hop on the train that everyone's been on since the Netflix show came out and decided to finally read the book, but I decided to do it in French.
What Netflix show is this?
It's just called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo.
This is the Marie Kondo show. Okay. I didn't
Yeah.
know that was the name of her book.
Yeah, so I already knew about the KonMari thing, but I decided to read the book just to get the full experience of it since people are also having like all these little debates and stuff. I'm like, oh, I gotta read up now for
Also,
real.
we're doing like we haven't mentioned it on here, but we're doing like a minimalism challenge, which is cool.
Yeah, that too. I was
Yeah.
like, this is nice motivation. Let's read this book on like cleaning up. So yeah. So I'm doing that in French. So that's another thing. I'm like trying this year to make sure that I do a wide variety of languages and a wide variety of things in the languages. So far I think I've done fairly well there. I've also done extremely minimal amounts of Gaelic, but they did pop in there once or twice. I'd like to finally like get a notebook dedicated to that and sit down and do it, but I think it's going to remain a dabbling thing until summer. And I'm fine with that just because I do want to focus more on my Bulgarian and now my German as well and stuff. So I think that's going to kind of be just a side project that I kind of check in with every now and again. Learn like one word and then I'm like, did you know I can say Christmas Eve? Because I can. So nice. That's where I'm at in my language learning. I was telling Matt before we started this podcast that I'm feeling like much better today. In like terms of productivity, even though I need to drive equipment an hour and a half from here tonight and then back. Oh, yeah. So that's going to be 3 hours of my night. And then I'm going to practice tomorrow morning. So,
yeah, we're also moving.
So lots
back
of driving in my
week.
Future. Yeah. And then we're moving. So like more driving in my future, but, I at least am feeling more motivated today for some reason and just like more creative and in general more on an upswing when it comes to productivity and like life. So hopefully today I'll get some things done.
I'm happy to hear that. I'm kind of on what's the word I'm looking for?
A downswing. I don't know what it's called.
Here we go. But I don't know, hearing you talk about all of this before, like, really makes me want to get my shit together. And I hope after this podcast, we're like, here we go. Because
yeah,
I know.
We're going to live stream after this.
Yeah, that'll be
which
nice.
Which is weird, because those of you who come to the live stream and then watch this podcast will be like, I was at that live stream and it was out before this.
but I was going to mention, in case people don't know, we're currently working on a kind of 2-video-a-week schedule where we're doing our weekly uploads happen on Saturday and our weekly live stream happens on Friday. As of right now, the Friday live stream time has been kind of earlier in the evening, and we hope it'll stay earlier in the evening, at least for our time zone, because
I think it's actually going to stay around the same time. I think we were saying like 3 to 4 Eastern Standard Time. So
yeah. Okay. Cool.
We will have to see how that works out because we haven't started the semester yet. So if it seems like really wild to do it, then we might need to move it. And also Matt and I are both applying for actual real life jobs.
Oh yeah, that'll change if we get jobs.
So there's a possibility that we'll occasionally have shifts during the live stream time. And then we'll have to do it not during the time that we usually do that, or one of us will have to live stream. Which
yeah, that could also happen.
We'll work as long as we're both not working. So we'll see.
Yeah,
what happens.
Definitely. But I just wanted to get people updated on that because I know we are very dedicated to Public Cloud Progress right now, and we want to stay on it. We really came into the new year like with huge new plans for this year, and that's I hope you guys are with us for it because we're very excited.
Hopefully eventually we'll work up to like 3 times a week too and have it be a podcast, a video, and a live stream a week.
Yeah, I think it'll
that'll
be
take a little while
summer.
But yeah, that'll take a little while, but like just some things to get excited for.
That's the goal.
So you'll have
speaking
way
of goals,
too much of us. Speaking of goals, how do we stick to them, Matt?
I don't know, Abigail, what do you think?
Well, I guess first you had a good point. Let's talk a little bit about resolutions versus goals.
Well, I think resolutions are an excuse to make someone feel better. For someone who has not done a thing they want to do, you make a resolution, and then you don't have any system. Well, I have a reason. You don't have any system in place to help you achieve that resolution. The resolution kind of just remains there, and then you feel gross. I keep saying gross. I want to say you feel shitty eventually for not reaching the...
No, I didn't get demonetized.
That's fine.
I know. No, literally.
We have a Patreon in the description. If we get demonetized, go to the Patreon.
Pay us so Matt can swear.
I think a resolution becomes an excuse eventually. People start them off with good intentions, but just there's no system in place when you set a resolution. I don't think they're ever really set. Goals, on the other hand, I think we make goals with an intention to achieve them rather than resolutions, which are kind of there to make you feel better. At least this is my view of it. I don't know, because even in the beginning of the new year when we did that one podcast, I was very like, but before it, I was like, I don't know if I have any language goals. I don't want to set goals because what if I don't achieve them? But it's like, that's not gonna help me.
But then that's yeah, that's gonna do the opposite. Yeah. So.
So this is where I've kind of come to this conclusion of okay, I can make goals, but like a resolution, a broad, vague resolution isn't gonna help anyone. Clear and specific goals, and like very, very defined goals are gonna help me actually be accomplished. And I think that's been the case so far. I've like one of my goals is to like really make progress on this translation project, and like I've gotten a bunch more books and I'm really progressing through this one translation and reading like multiple essays right now on it. Like that's been great. And like I don't think I'd be doing that with just like the vague goal of improve my German. It's like yeah. Get this project done. And so this is helping me improve my German, and it's like a task that I'm very passionate about and enjoying. Whereas like improve the German is so vague that like I don't know, it doesn't have any like strata to it that would help me get it done, or like how to gauge that it's happening, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for me, I think my resolutions, what I've started doing, I used to be like a person who didn't think New Year's was like I thought it was so pointless, and I thought that New Year's resolutions were really pointless. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason for that being that it is just another day of the year.
That's kind of...
I guess a new year, but like it is just another day, and then also... With resolutions, I feel like you always hear about people who say things like, I'm going to go to the gym every day this year.
The first thing I think of is everyone who appears in the gym the next day and then a week later aren't there. And I'm like, is this what I want to be in any of my goals?
Because people view it as this completely different life, and they also don't consider like what you have to go through in order to make that work. If you've never gone to the gym before and you're suddenly going to go every day, it's going to be a lot. So I think it's just it's considering that and things for me, and also like you said, some of them are very vague. I think that's where I at this point tend to like draw the line between a resolution and a goal, and I guess technically even my resolutions are kind of goals, but at this point I kind of set both resolutions and goals almost.
And I think that's okay. I think the distinction between them though is that the, like you said, the resolutions are vague, and that's okay. It's like the overarching kind of umbrella term for everything.
Yeah, exactly. I think the resolutions for me are more so like, that's where I would be like, I want to improve my German. And it's like, well, okay, what does that really mean? But then I have some more detailed things like my resolutions language wise this year, because I opened up this page just to be able to see where things like always be doing something in a language, which even that I guess could be considered a goal, but it's still pretty, it's vague enough that I consider it just a resolution, and like my goals will be more so what books I want to read, what shows I want to watch, what podcasts I want to listen to, etc. And I also, like last year, I wanted to study a language every day. I feel like another thing that you can add in is people that do word of the year and things like that instead of resolutions now. I think that's another helpful way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's actually a very helpful way. I never really did that until I discovered at the end of 2017 that my year had unintentionally like formed itself into a very cohesive like theme. Cheesily enough, I discovered that I'm like really not gonna talk about this, it's too cheesy. But I discovered that there is a two-word song by my favorite band that could sum up that bit of 2017 and what I wanted 2018 to be. And so I was like, great, words of the year. The years. And it worked out really well. And then now I have another song. It was Dismantle Repair.
I knew it.
I'm emo trash.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, so it summed up 2017. Then so 2018, I feel like I was able to have that kind of goal of kind of moving forward and stuff. And so that worked out really well. And so this year I went into it more so with the intention of like having a theme for the year almost. So my resolution was more of a theme than anything. As opposed to just being like, I want to go to the gym every day. And I do have goals like that, but I think just saying I think even go to the gym every day is okay. It's a little bit ambitious, but it's okay.
Yeah.
But I think it's more so when people are like, get in shape.
Yeah.
I think that's a resolution that doesn't work, because what does that really mean?
Yeah.
Which I guess brings me to my first thing of how to stick to them, which is setting SMART goals.
Absolutely.
SMART goals stands for something that I don't remember off the top of my head. It's something
like
measurable.
Yeah, measurable.
Something.
I
knew
measurable. Hold up, I'll look it up. You can keep talking.
But if you set SMART goals, I don't even think that your resolution, as I said, needs to be a SMART goal necessarily. Your resolution could be get in shape, but I think you need SMART goals to kind of back that up, such as I want to go to the gym every 2 days, or I want to be able to run a marathon or something like that. Yes.
All right. SMART, specific, measurable, assignable, relevant, time-based.
All right. There we go. That's them.
Or attainable is also assignable is also attainable.
All right. Yeah. I think even if you want to have a vague resolution or go off of a theme for the year or a word for the year instead, having SMART goals to back it up is going to help you stick to it, because it's going to show you what you need to be working for and help you time-wise as well. So I think...
Do you have some examples of SMART goals in relation to language learning that that you could like implement in your day or week schedule?
Yeah, so for me, I guess a good way to look at it is actually how I break down specific languages. So I, as well as my kind of overarching language things, I always kind of break it down by language. So that way I, again, kind of breaking it down like SMART goals, I know what I need to be working towards. But even within that, I kind of end up breaking it down. Mm-hmm. And it also does have a very vague thing. So for example,
well, I was going to say, you're kind of like, that's kind of your signature thing of like, you know how to make hierarchical tasks.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because you kind of, we've talked about this before, you function on like a multi, like a stratified level of priorities of like year-long goal, month goals, week goal, and like how everything you're doing kind of like relates to another task.
This isn't even that, but just as in like for this year, I wanted to have the confidence of a C2 French speaker. If you're wondering what that means, I'd suggest watching our other podcast on our language goals. That's a very vague goal. What does that mean at all? So I guess that's more of a resolution, is to become more confident in my French.
How would you go about making like smaller goals for that?
Exactly. So for example, I want to be using the language, which is still somewhat vague, but I mean, it means things for me in terms of, I think it's vague, but I know what it means more so, because for me, it means I want to be reading books in the language, I want to be watching things in the language, et cetera. And then I also want to finish a draft of a translation project. Yeah. So it's smaller goals like that, I also want to be taking italki lessons and things like that are other smaller goals throughout. But just kind of having those smaller goals throughout, I think, is a good way to hold you to it. Mm. And it also leads into accountability, which is another point I had. I think the only way to make whatever your resolution or goal is for the year work is to hold yourself accountable to it. I think it's very easy to let go of your goal because so many people are... I feel like one thing that really bothers me about New Year's resolutions is that there's kind of a whole societal norm and joke when it comes to resolutions.
Yeah, they're not taken seriously.
It's the norm for everyone to be like, I said I was going to eat less sugary foods this year, and it's 12:01 and I just ate ice cream, so guess that's out the window. Really?
And which, like, this kind of thing, which is obviously ironic, is, like, extrapolated onto a higher level of, like, anyone, like, this is why I was afraid of New Year's goals in the beginning of the year, where I was like, I don't kind of like putting my goals into this category of resolutions, because I don't think they're taken seriously in the general public, and, like, I think just that kind of thinking kind of like infected the way I view resolutions. Because I'm like, you know, because I think of the gym packed on the first day and then the second day there's no one there. And it's like,
yeah,
like, I don't want to be one of those people. I'd rather just, you know, this is a thing I'm already doing, kind of like, you know, law of attraction, sort of like I'm doing this thing until it's done.
Well, I think that using it as a new start, like, I'm all about new starts and things.
Yeah.
Today's a new start for me. But
whenever you don't have to be this.
Yeah, you can. So for me, I like the New Year's. I like that it's, that I can look and see that it's 2019 and I know I'm 18 days into the year and that sort of thing. And I can use then when it becomes 2020, I can reflect on all of these things that I did in 2019. Mm-hmm. But for me, a lot of it's, let's say I'm that person that said I wanted to cut down my sugar levels and then I ate ice cream like a minute into 2019. I feel like saying that then it's all written off, that's not holding yourself accountable. A, there's the accountability of like, you should have been like, maybe I shouldn't eat this ice cream since I'm cutting out sugar. But even if you're going to do that, even if you make a mistake or you miss a day, maybe you've got a language streak you want to keep up and you miss a day, I don't think writing it off then is the way to go about it. I set a goal to study every day last year, but even if I hadn't kept up with that, like if in July I had missed 2 days or something, I would have then tried to pick it back up and then been at the end of the year, like I missed 2 days in July. Because I think just being like, well, I've dropped off of what I said I was gonna do, so now I can't do it at all. You can still hold yourself accountable even if you've missed something. Mm-hmm. If you want to go to the gym every day and you miss one day because you've got the flu, like you can go again once you're better.
Yeah, exactly.
I
think something interesting with the SMART goals is the time-based goals versus measurable. Like I think those are really interesting because like at least over the break, kind of how I've, over this winter break for us, how I have been kind of measuring my time and tasks are in these kind of half hour increments. Like whether I go out and to do some work and I want a script for like 30 minutes, write a video script for 30 minutes. I'm studying ancient Greek for like, and then for the other 30 minutes, I'm like reading different books, 30 minutes each. And like what's cool about it is a kind of sense of progress over the time, which I think it's the same progress you get if I remember I've spoken about it before. I really need to feel like I'm progressing in a language course sometimes. And sometimes going through the course, I don't feel that progression because I don't know, for whatever reason. And so I like to kind of make a tracker of like every lesson I'm taking. And so I can see the progression kind of building. And I think it's the same going through a book or anything. And so for me with the time limit of like, you know, I just need to do this for like 30 minutes and then I can like check that off, but I can keep going if I want. It kind of keeps me, it gives me this momentum of a sense of progress in just a general productive sense. Yeah, and so, I mean, I've been working in shifts of half hours right now just because I'm on break, but like at school, I'll typically do like an hour, do like Pomodoro sessions, which like, I don't know, I've not always been the biggest fan of Pomodoro sessions. I don't know about you, have you? At least in like the sense,
I mean,
of the,
I will say that the time part of SMART goals doesn't stand for like doing
time frames. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. No, just I thought you led into it as like within
SMART. No, I just wanted to talk about the fact that like a lot of the way I go about productivity is like dividing things into different chunks of time, but the problem, like in a specific day, it's like how much time I spend on each thing. But the problem with this is then like, say I want to read to page like 50 in this book and I only spend half an hour reading and I'm on page 40, it's like, should I stop or should I just keep going? And so that's where I'm like, I just go over the time and I get to the page I want to get to, because that's like another sense of measuring it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of SMART goals, is knowing kind of what your goal is going into it. Is it the time or is it the page count? And I think that's going to differ based on the person. So I don't know if I have an opinion there, because I feel like it differs based on the person, and that's something you figure out when making your SMART goals.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think there's a really
okay. I don't know what input you want from me there.
Like kind of offering different ways for people to kind of go about these goals. Because in terms of language learning, I think you can either say like, okay, I'm going to sit down and do this unit in this textbook, or like I'm going to sit down and study for an hour. Like, those are measurable, you know, in different ways.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so how do you hold yourself accountable to getting those goals done?
I mean, there are different systems you can use. I've been using like just a task tracking app on my computer lately just to kind of like see what I'm doing. And it kind of, it's neat because the app has like different streaks that it like shows you that you're on with different tasks. We were talking earlier about like the hierarchical goal system of like having a goal and then sub goals. And so that's kind of been my thing. And so like for Greek, I have a very simple goal right now of just like, I need to review what I've done already in order to continue. And like, as simple as that sounds, it's actually very measurable. Like here I have the first chapter of everything I did on one page. And like, these were all the words I either didn't remember or wanted to review. And like, this involved me reading it, me writing it down, me then going back through it and kind of translating again what I remembered or didn't remember. And like, I'm going to do this again or two more times maybe before I can record more. And like, it's neat because, I mean, this has the kind of added thing of like, I'm doing it for the YouTube channel. But like, I think in terms of like my translation project, which is like, I sit down and I give myself half an hour and I get through as many sonnets as I do. Or like, you know, I spend the entire time on one sonnet because I'm obsessing over it. And it's like, it works for me. I don't know. It gives me a sense of like, I know I'm spending time on things. In terms of accountability, I think it's just, you know, something that's been working for me is setting goals and tasks days in advance so that I have them when those days come up. Otherwise, if I have a day where I don't set goals for myself, I'll tend to just not do anything. Or like not feel like I need to get anything done and there's no obligation. But when I like, so this is where like setting goals the night before or like having a weekly spread in a journal and establishing things you want to do days in advance, that helps. Kind of like creating, I've kind of talked about this before, like kind of creating a syllabus for yourself, but not necessarily and sticking and then, to it.
So for you, do you just take whatever your major goal or resolution for the year is and then break that into SMART goals and then have those goals kind of throughout your weekly thing? Or do you do anything to kind of maintain habits or anything like that? Like, do you have an accountability system for making sure you're doing something every day? Or is it just that you would write something that you want in your daily life in every single day?
I think the latter is closer to what I do, ideally. Mm-hmm. I think I'd like to have the former. I just don't think I do. I don't think I'm as habitually organized as I'd like to be, which, like, you know, is something I want to work on this year.
Yeah.
But because I feel like you probably do have a system.
I mean, yeah, I've got my language tracker, my language bullet journal, where I genuinely check off every single day if I've studied or not and put in the different
as of
language.
Right now for me, it's kind of just been work on these two things every day, if not every other day, because like I kind of have only like the way my kind of brain has been functioning over break has been like, okay, what books am I living in? And it's like, okay, Rilke, Greek, this, that, and the other thing. And then it's like, okay, kind of give every book some time today. And it's like, it's not like I'm just sitting in the one until it's done. Like I work better jumping around, it seems, or at least I like to take breaks from things and give time to other things. So it allows me to make sure I get to everything and I'm progressing in everything. So like it's very likely that I will do Rilke and then I'll feel a need to, or I'll be in the kind of state of mind of like language and translation. So I'll jump to Greek. And so like, it's not a system other than just kind of like mental cues really, which doesn't help because it's just me. So I don't
so
really know.
So it's not, you don't have an accountability system.
No, I don't think I do totally. Okay. Other than I have these overarching goals.
What about non-language habits? Because that's a way to look at it as well. Do you have any like non-language resolutions or habits or goals for this year that you, like, how have you been balancing those in your life?
Well, in the 18 days that it has been 2019, I don't know if I can say that I have, my friend.
Do you have anything that working forward you want to be doing more often or...
I mean, absolutely.
Working towards, et cetera.
In the typical New Year sense, I have a want to hit the gym more, as we all do. And, you know, during this school year, I have actually a much less, during this upcoming semester, I have a much looser schedule than I've typically had previously. And so I'm trying to work that new job if I can. And I also want to, actually, this is something we were just talking about before the podcast started, and I want to open a conversation on it if we can. I want to attempt to kind of create a very rigid schedule in my day. We were just kind of talking about the added benefits to having a schedule, or at least like a scheduled lifestyle, or at least the benefits of it and the kind of disadvantages of really not having one, and the kind of detriment to mental health that it can cause. And I think I am a person who suffers when I don't have a lot of organization in my life. I at least do less, much less productive, much less happy. And I'm not prone to get myself out of that situation because I just don't feel like I can. And so if I already had the system kind of built in, had the structure built into my day, I think it's something that like habitually would set in. I think I'd feel much more comfortable in the self-organized structure. And so at school, I want to try to find time on my days off to my day. I have a lot of days off in the weeks coming up, just due to how my classes are. And so I want to be able to schedule those days of like, okay, I'm going to study for X amount of hours. Those hours are going to be broken up. I'm going to have lunch, go to the gym, study more, and then like relax or something. And it's like, but I know it's going to be tough because like I had a day off last semester, and it was like sometimes the day off was like my least productive day.
And it's like, yeah, probably the lack of structure. If like you were saying, the structure helps you get work done, having a day where there's absolutely no structure is probably pretty difficult. Yeah. So how are you, do you have like a plan for how you're going to hold yourself to working on these translation projects and going to the gym and studying and stuff during the year? Are you gonna like map out a schedule for yourself before classes start and try to follow that, or are you going to like have a habit tracker? Like, do you kind of know what you're gonna do yet?
That's tough because I need to kind of gauge the workload first for myself to see what I'll be able to do when.
Then like after the first week of classes, do you feel
By then I'll develop something. I want to kind of I don't know whether a habit tracker is the best thing to do, or whether just like scheduling time in every week would be the answer for me.
And do you think you'll do it then based on time, or will you say like Tuesdays I go to class, then I go to the gym, then I get work done? Or do you think you'll just be like time after class can be for studying or the gym or language learning? I know this is a lot, but just out of curiosity, and also to help anyone else who might be dealing with the same thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think ideally what I want is like, because I can see the time in my schedule that's free. I did this for actually a student of mine last semester who came to me, said he was really struggling with his time management. And he like was stressing. He was staying up so late at night trying to get his work done before class the next day. And I made a visual schedule with him on like sheets to kind of just show him how much time he had in the schedule, kind of like how we do. And he like saw how much time he had. He had like every day after 12 p.m. to midnight. He just had free time. And he, for some reason, had the idea of like, I have no time in between my classes. I have no time all day. And it was like, just seeing it visually was so eye-opening to him. And I think doing that, but because I already do that, but then scheduling my in-between time as like, here is when study is, here is translation, here is gym, here is like, you know, I'm going to go to lunch. I mean, obviously, I don't want to do it to an extreme that I feel like I'm a robot, but I want to do it to a sense where I feel like I'm in a
comfortable... I think you could even, though, leave free time. I think if I were to do that, what I would end up doing would be having my class, like, whatever, if those are your top three, like, habits that you want to have, like, translation, going to the gym, and... studying, I would put like those in as though they were classes, as like rigid
that's
things. And then any time where you're not doing those, have it be like free time where you could get ahead in your work, or you could read a book, or you could study a language, or you could play a video game, like literally anything, and give that time to be very loose. But like the things that you know you want to do, like you know you want to go to the gym, you know you want to work on this translation project, that would be more of a rigid thing.
Yeah, exactly. I think what I'm going to try to do is actually exactly.
And I'll be interested to hear how that ends up working out on a future podcast.
Because I'm a, I'm interested about it. I did that a few summers ago. I had like a kind of system like that for just being at home of like, you know, I had this thing of like, I'm going to wake up in the morning and just write till 11 a.m. And like, that was something, it was actually really good for keeping me accountable.
Yeah, like, I forgot about that. That was very good.
It was, but obviously like I need to throw other things.
But then after that, yeah, you did kind of like write for an hour and then the rest of the day were like.
I did the one thing I had to do, but like, yeah, no, it's like, I should really throw other things in there to keep myself busy. I don't know. I'm very excited to see how that works out. Of course, this is only talking in theory. I don't have any practice of it yet, but.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how that happens.
Yeah, me too. What about you in terms of accountability?
In terms of accountability for languages, I have that habit tracker where I basically, for those of you who haven't seen it, it's like boxes for each day, and then I put a different color in based on what language I studied that day. I've got like each language is color coded essentially, so I'll be able to see which languages I studied on which days, and which days I did or did not study. But something that I want to do this year is, and I haven't figured out exactly how I want to do this yet, but I'm planning to do something that measures maybe how long I spent studying and what I did. So I might end up adding a spread in my journal that will be like a log essentially for each day, where I just write what I did in that language and how long I did it for. Because I was reading something that was talking about how people will kind of like inflate the amount that they've done towards a certain goal, which I think is also a major problem with resolutions. And so it is like, if you say, I want to get in shape, and you don't say how many times you want to go to the gym a week, and you don't track how many times you did go to the gym a week, it's very easy for you to go once every 2 weeks and feel like you're really making a ton of progress. And yeah, it sounds silly, but it's actually our brains do fill it in as like, yeah, I'm constantly going to the gym. Like, and that's also how we get that idea that we have no time, is like we inflate how much time we're spending doing things kind of in our brains. So you might be like, yeah, I spent all day studying and you really only did it for an hour.
Absolutely.
Because you like inflate it in your brain. So I think having something for me that tracks what I actually did in the language, that way I can't be, because already I sometimes will feel like I've studied German more frequently than I have, for instance. And so seeing it on that tracker and seeing what languages I actually have studied is very good for me to be able to be like, wait a minute, I haven't studied German in a month. I'm only studying this language, you know? So there's that, but I would like to be able to see, when was the last time I read a book? When was the last time I did something audio-based? When was the last time I spoke to someone in a language? Why did I only study for 10 minutes this day? Like all of those kinds of things. So I think for me, getting a better accountability system, not necessarily better, but a more detailed and therefore better for me, I think it would have been a lot to start out with. But since I've done this tracker for a year now, I think having something that really keeps me analyzing what I'm doing in the languages is going to make me a much more efficient language learner and also keep me from inflating in my brain. I'm sure if I start doing it even just in language learning, I'll start to find that I'll be a little bit more aware of how much time I'm spending in other aspects of my life with my studying and my working out and anything like that, and kind of begin to see like, no, I'm definitely inflating that I like work out every day because I don't, that sort of thing. So I'm hoping to do something like that.
That's really cool. I'm really interested to see how that works.
Yeah, I've tried, and in terms of other things, I've tried the stereotypical habit tracker in the past where it's got all of your habits and you check them off for each day, but I can't keep up with it for some reason.
Also, I was going to ask you about this. What is it about those things that makes you want to accomplish the goal then, you know?
I don't think it does. I think the main thing is that that's for accountability, and because there is that kind of idea that it takes a certain number of days to establish it as a habit. It's more so that if you see it on there, like you want to wake up at 7 a.m. every day, that pushes you to make sure that you have
woken up
at 7 a.m. every day. just so that way you can establish it as a habit. I think that's more so the point of it, and less so like now I have to go do it, unless you really feel bad about breaking a streak.
Yeah, I think that those work for people who see the don't break the chain thing and are like very excited about not breaking. And then it becomes more about doing it to complete the thing to get the bubble filled in than doing the thing, which is very that's a strange workaround always, I think, you know.
So I mean, I think that works for some people. It works a little bit less for me, so I don't think I'll move back to that. I also would like to try something similar to what you have with this, your idea with the schedule and having things put in it, but I know certain things just don't work for me in that way. I do need a little bit of flexibility in my day. More so because I like to self-structure each day. Like
Well,
I
I
feel
think
like
these
no people
structures
really
really.
work well with no structure, but for me, I need like somewhat of a lack of structure.
I think this will be a
So
lax enough for me because I know it's mine that I'll feel enough. Well, okay,
yeah.
so I'm duly worried about this. I think it'll be fine because I know it's mine, and that'll give me a feeling of enough agency over it. And then I'm worried that because I know it's mine, I don't view it as like having authority over me.
Yeah, for me, I don't. It's not an agency or authority thing for me. I think we've talked about this before. We both kind of function a little bit differently with how we view like intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. For me, it's actually like if something's rigid, I just like won't want
Oh yeah,
it
that I kind
to.
of have
I
moved towards that
actually
as well.
extrinsic motivation just like does not work on me. I'm just like, you know, like I don't want to do this. I don't see a benefit for me, so I'm not going to do this. But I, which made high school a blast, as you can all figure out. For me, like having a schedule that's the same for every day, whether it's like every week it ends up being the same or something like that, I just need a little bit more. Like even I tried meal planning this last semester and it didn't work for me because I need that kind of ability to change and choose as the day goes on. But I think certain things maybe I'd schedule in. And I think even it'll be interesting to see if I do get the job, like work with like a scheduled in shift with my classes, with roller derby scheduled in, having
Oh my
all of those
gosh.
very structured things and seeing how I make use of the time that's not structured. But I guess that won't be that much different from the other semesters I've had, realistically. It's just instead of class, it's work and roller derby.
Yeah, when I had work over the last summer, it was like it killed my motivation to be busy outside of work, you know? It was like that was where my like even though it wasn't, I had no motivation to like put my effort in there. It was just like
I
it
think though
happened to
that was
drain
that you
you.
just really hated your job though,
I
as
also
opposed to
do
like a
hate it.
structure thing.
That's fair. I was also working
So
insane hours.
moving on to other things, I guess that also related is I think another way to make sure that you stick to your resolutions and goals as the year goes on is checking in and reevaluating.
Absolutely.
Because a year is a long time, and if you set at the beginning of the year that you want something that like you do have room to change as the year goes on. I think even as months goes on, for anyone who's watched my summer goal series, oftentimes halfway through the summer, I'm like, you know, I really don't care about this goal. And so dropping that is totally fine. There were lots of resolutions that I mentioned in or goals that I mentioned in our 2018 wrap up and 2019 goals and resolutions video where I had set them at the beginning of the year and I was like, yeah, this one didn't even get started because I just didn't, it wasn't a priority for me. And by the end of the year, I had decided that I wasn't interested in doing it at all. And so I don't think that's a failed resolution. I think that's you realizing that you have other priorities. I think if it gets to the point where then you're like, I have nothing I'm working towards because it just, I reevaluated and none of it's working. You can add things, like we said, it really is just another day. So you can have a new start, like in June, you can be like, you know, half of these goals aren't working for me. Here's other things that I do want to be working towards.
I mean, this is even like you weren't feeling too motivated yesterday, and you like had a night to just like restart and like reevaluate and get refreshed, and then you're like, you're here, like, I'm ready to get things done now. Like, you know, everybody needs a kind of just like restart button, and it's like for some people that's the new year, for others it's any other day of the year because it's all arbitrary anyway.
Yeah, I think that check-in can work for accountability too. Like, I know something my mom said she wanted to do this year is at the end of each month, kind of like take a moment to just like journal about how she had progressed towards things she wanted to get done in the year so far. See if there was anything that she had set out to do this year that wasn't really something she wanted anymore, but also like check in with how she did with the things she does want, which is something I actually would like to try. She was like hyped up about my goals and made her own goals and then did that and I was like, oh, I'm stealing that. So I think I might kind of check in with myself, see what I it gives you a chance to also kind of reward yourself in a sense of seeing what you did accomplish at the end of that month or week or day or however often you want to do it. Get rid of anything that's not really helping you anymore. And just kind of keep moving on in that sense. Do you have anything else? I have a few more bullet points, but
I don't have much more, I don't think. I think the other thing that I do have, which is really, it's something I've said before, and it relates to our sponsor, is like, and it relates to the creating the own, your own syllabus for you, is like, if you go and like buy a Italki package with someone, you can schedule lessons in a package out for like multiple months in advance or however long they have slots open. And like that kind of becomes a kind of time-based system almost for you. I mean, it depends on who you're working with, whether or not they'll be willing to like kind of work with you, but it also depends on yourself. Are you willing to do work in like weekly increments of like working up to a lesson and then working up to the next lesson? You know, I think I've done that in the past before, and that's always really fun.
Yeah, so my other ones are kind of unrelated to that, but one thing that I have that I just feel like is helpful if you're sticking to things on a long-term basis, such as a New Year's goal resolution thing, is that every day doesn't have to be huge, but you should push yourself. I think if you get into the mindset of like, I can just do 5 minutes today, like I can do some light stretching today, and that counts as my working out. That's good once in a while. If you are in like a ton of pain, you don't have to go run a mile. Like you
Yeah, if you
can,
have the flu, maybe don't go to the gym.
yeah, like you can do some light yoga or something. Like it's fine. And same with language learning. You don't have to sit and do an hour of intense grammar study every day. Once in a while, you can just read a book or watch a show or message a friend in a language or something for a little while. And that can count as your language for the day because it keeps you moving, keeps that habit going. But you do need to make sure that you don't fall into that trap. And I also think you can fall into the kind of stagnation of doing the same thing every day, even if it is an hour of intense grammar study. Sometimes changing it up
Yeah,
by
I think
then
for me
taking an
that has to
Italki
happen.
lesson or doing something like that will be pretty helpful. And so changing it up is also something that I had down. I think you can also get pretty bored if you're doing the same thing every day. So one thing I like to do is if I'm starting to kind of feel burnt out, just doing something different is helpful, whether that's studying a different language, if you're also studying a lot of languages the way we do, or if it's doing something that you don't usually do, maybe taking a lesson on Italki if you're usually someone who does more written and kind of reading comprehension based work, or if you're someone who usually takes Italki lessons, maybe sitting down with a textbook for a little while and working on some vocab from there and that sort of thing. Just to kind of like give you a fresh start. And then my last point that also then connects to that is just your mindset. This also goes back to how I hate the whole societal like joking of like, haha, I've broken my New Year's resolution because like you don't have to view it that way and you can kind of shift your mindset to be more so that this is something that you want to do and you can do it. That's the other thing is I think just like letting yourself know that you can, even if like you do mess up, even if you do eat that ice cream at 12:01 a.m., you can always shift yourself back to then doing it, and
I
by the end
think
of the year, it's better.
this is where people need to kind of stand up for themselves and create your own calendar. Now, listen to me. I am an entrepreneur and I am founder of the Create Your Own Calendar company. Now, what this means is that when you don't achieve your goals, what you need to do is just remove yourself from the year, which has been oppressing you. You just need to, you are day one. It is New Year's Eve again, June 24th, 20 whatever, it becomes year zero. You are at the, you are the center of gravity. You're the singularity of your own universe. Now, go and do what you will.
I mean, you knock it, but I also, that is, for me at least, like you were saying, I had took last night to literally, I took a bath.
No, I joke, but I'm totally serious.
I cleaned my room, took a bath, and then...
Because also the year, like, the year is an arbitrary system, and like, we just subscribe to it because it works.
So,
like,
I
honestly,
mean,
any other time is fine.
So if your mindset needs it, a fresh start is also always good. You can, like you said, set goals at any point in the year. I do it all the time. New semesters, new goals. My birthday, honestly. New goals. I take lots of times to do it. And when the semesters stop happening, who knows what I'll do. Maybe by the seasons.
Yeah, I know you've said that before. Or like
months. Yeah. I've seen people do that before where they'll set like seasonal goals, and I feel like that will be a good way for me to function when I'm no longer in the educational system. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens, but I feel like that could work for me. Yeah, but I think just having the mindset of knowing that you can do it and you just have to hold yourself accountable is an excellent way to go. Mm-hmm. So to sum up, take whatever your resolutions or goals are and make sure that you've got some smart goals that are either the goals themselves or some broken down pieces of it.
Be smart.
Find a way to hold yourself accountable to getting those done and have the mindset that you can get those things done and you can always start over. If you fail, you don't have to quit out immediately.
Get things done.
Every day doesn't have to be huge, but you should push yourself and change it up once in a while if you need to.
Do things every day.
Yes, and check in and reevaluate, because if your goal stops being your goal, you don't have to force yourself to continue with it. That's not failing. That's basically, then you've completed your goal because it's no longer at, like, you've done what you needed to for that goal, and then now it's no longer the goal. So, yeah.
We're all failures if you really think about it.
Yeah. If you have any tips for sticking to your resolutions or goals, we would love to hear them. We'll probably put down in the description our last podcast on our goals and resolutions, and maybe also my video on goal setting. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's also pretty relevant.
And I've got a video on time management and making time, which might be helpful.
Yeah, we can put that down there too. So if you're interested in watching any of those videos, you can go and check them out. We'll also have linked down below Italki, obviously, if you want to go check them out. Again, thank you to Italki for sponsoring this podcast. Mm-hmm. Helps us out a lot. And then we'll also have our Patreon down there if you would like to help out. We did get rid of our like tier reward system recently. So at this point, you're really just like getting a little bit of exclusive content from us and your name down in the description. But if you're interested in just kind of supporting the channel and the content we make, that's kind of the reason to support.
And you get a special patron role on our Discord, because I know that's what people really want.
Yeah.
People don't want rewards. They just want the role on Discord. I know.
We'll also have our Discord. There is both an accountability chat, a motivation chat, and something else that's
memes.
Kind of goals related. Well, I was talking about goal related.
I know
things,
you were.
Thank you, Matt.
Anytime.
Language memes. As always, if you have any video requests or podcast requests, we would love to hear them. And if you missed it, what is now yesterday, but is in a few minutes for us. We're now doing live streams every Friday, so come on out to those and ask us any of your questions or just chat with us.
Cool. Okay, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Bye.